My name is James Kane. Can everybody hear me? Okay, my name is James Kane. I'm working with Dr. Paul Ayers at the University of Tennessee. I'm also working with Heidi Howard and Allie Anderson at CIRL, and I'm presenting about vehicle dynamics and terrain impacts across multiple passes. And a lot of this may be rehashed from what you just heard from Dr. Paul Ayers. Some of the dynamics that we're doing are kind of looking at the same information. So if I repeat a few things, bear with me, please. Okay, a little bit of background about what we're doing. A lot of research has been done about single pass vehicle impacts. So our study in this case is working on quantifying multiple passes and how much damage different vehicles do over one pass, two pass, four passes, and eight passes, up to eight passes. So the key parameters we're looking at are disturb width, impact severity, and the relationship of the number of passes to the overall disturbance with the CIW or cumulative impact width, which is simply a product of the disturbed width in centimeters and the impact severity on a scale from 0 to 100. We're using, to track the vehicles in the field for the study, we're using the vehicle tracking system that Dr. Paul Ayers mentioned previously. I won't go over too much, but we are using two units, redundant units. We're using a Garmin 18, and we're also using a Trimble Ag GPS 132. It's going to give us some backup. On the vehicles in the study we used two track vehicles and two wheeled vehicles. We were going for a large wheeled and track vehicle and a smaller wheeled and track vehicle. So we ended up using an M1A1 combat tank, M113 APC, Hemet, which is like a large off-road truck, and a Humvee. And the study was done at Fort Riley, Kansas, August 12, 2008. And here's a little chart showing kind of the size differences in the vehicles. So pretty much an extreme on either side, large and small. To assess the vehicle dynamics in the field, we used a spiral technique. And what we did is we ran the vehicles at a relatively constant velocity over a spiral. We did four spirals per vehicle. And we divided the turn radius of these spirals into three sections depending upon the sharpness of the turn. The straight turns were at or above 80 meters. The intermediate turns were anywhere from 30 to 80 meters. And the sharp turns were less than 30 meters. And impact data we got were from the left and the right tracks of the vehicles. And the cumulative impact width, which I'll talk a little bit about, is kind of an average of those two. So for the M1A1, we got 60 impact points per spiral. A total of four multiple passes were used. The reason why the M1A1 did not go up to a total of eight multiple passes is because we found that, I guess as you could assume, the M1A1 is such a large vehicle that it just totally destroyed the ground, and we didn't really see a point going to eight passes because it was basically 100% damaged already. And the other vehicles, you can see 14 points and 8 total passes. So, and here's an average velocity in meters per second, just give you an idea of how fast they were going. The general methodology for assessing the dynamics of these vehicles, we would track the vehicle continuously with the vehicle tracking system. We would run the first spiral, and we would actually go out on foot and track the points, or 16 points of the spiral, and we would assess them using a handheld ArcPad unit connected to GPS, and by hand measure the actual width of the track, left and right passenger driver side, and also different tools were used, such as the impact assessment checklist, which I'll go over in just a second, drop cone, soil cone penetrometer, soil TDR, which is time domain reflectometry, tor vane, soil shear graph, and we also took bulk soil samples. So the rapid assessment impact severity checklist is a scale Dr. Paul just talked about a little bit. It goes from 0 to 100%, and basically it's a visual assessment of how much vegetation has been removed from the track. And so you basically get down, feel the ground, and use a ruler to measure the disturbed width of it. All right, these are a series of per vehicle, two graphs per vehicle. And what you're seeing is the cumulative impact on the left-hand side, and below is the driver's, which is the D, and the passenger side cumulative impact width. And the DCIW1 is first pass, the 2 is the second pass. The 3, it's a little confusing. CIW3 would be after 4 passes, And for the other charts, you'll see a CIW 4, which is going to be after 8 passes. So if anybody's confused, sorry about that. And below, it plots the number of passes versus the CIW 4 passes from 0 to 4 or 0 to 8. And you can see that for the straight, intermediate, and sharp turns, the number of passes in CIW changes. And from this, we are trying to get, and I'll talk about it a little bit in just a second, is a coefficient or multi-pass coefficient for the vehicles. So as you can see, this is the large tracked vehicle, and we are seeing a linear progression from multiple passes as pass 1 to pass 2, pass 4, kind of a linear progression of the damage. For the second vehicle, the light tracked vehicle, again, it's kind of a linear progression of damage as the number of passes continues. And you can kind of see the separation on the bottom graph here of the severity of the turn, number of passes versus the cumulative impact width. For the wheeled vehicles, the Hemet, for this vehicle, we did not have intermediate turns. It was pretty much either a straight turn or a sharp turn. And finally, for the Humvee, we had this interesting kind of nonlinear relationship between the number of passes and the impact of those passes. So with the two vehicles, the Hemet and the Humvee, they're kind of nonlinear. And the reason for this we're kind of thinking about is that as the vehicle turns and goes from a straight turn to a sharp turn, the actual tires separate. And at a very sharp turn, you actually get tire splitting. And basically, each tire follows a separate track at a very sharp turn, leading to a larger disturb width, but actually a less severe impact from that vehicle. Finally, this slide kind of brings it all together. The equation we're using to predict our cumulative impact width, this is kind of the whole crux of our study to get a multipass coefficient. Usually, in other studies, many other studies that have been done, let me explain this a little bit. The cumulative impact width, which is like a predicted cumulative impact, is equal to the number of passes n raised to the 1 over a, and a would be the multipass coefficient. And in previous studies, it's been assumed that a is equal to 2, so it would be like the number of passes raised to 0.5, and this would be multiplied by the cumulative impact width of the first pass for that vehicle. And what we found is that in this study, the multipass coefficients actually differed from 2, which was like the assumed value for the multipass coefficient. For example, and it depends on turning radius. So the M1A1, we got multipass coefficients anywhere from 1, about 1.5 to over 3. And they kind of progress depending upon the turn. So this is new information. This is valuable because if we use these different multipass coefficients, this kind of would give us a better indication of the predicted cumulative impact width of this vehicle based upon its turning radius, and give us a better estimation of field impacts of these vehicles as they're being tracked. And this the bottom graph is kind of an explanation of what we mean by the multipass. A 1-to-1 ratio or multipass coefficient of 1 would be a straight line, and a multipass coefficient of 2 would be this line that kind of goes up and kind of has this nice gentle curve. So basically, if it's a multipass coefficient that's larger than 2, it'll be below this red line, and it'll be kind of a shallower line. And if it's between 1 and 2, it'll be somewhere along that graph. Kind of give you a visual idea of what we're talking about here. The conclusions that we reach from this are that track versus wheeled vehicles. Track vehicles, there's a linear progression of the cumulative impact width versus the turning radius. And most damage is done while turning by the track shearing of the track vehicles. And there's less damage along straight paths. For the wheeled vehicles, there's kind of a nonlinear progression of cumulative impact width versus turning radius. There are relatively larger impacts along straight paths compared to track vehicles. And for track vehicles, most of the damage is done in the first 1 or 2 passes, and after that, the visual assessment damage goes to about 100%. For wheeled vehicles, they cause progressively more damage as the number of passes increase. For the Hemet and the Humvee, the multipass coefficients and turning radius, as I explained, as the vehicle turns sharply, the tracks split and each tire follows a different pass or a path, spreading the impacts over a larger area, which is kind of going back to this slide right here. As you can see with the Humvee especially, the multipass coefficient for a sharp turn is 1.17 versus the straight coefficient of 1.35, which is kind of the inverse of what you would expect. And as you can see with the tracked vehicles, M1 and the M113, They progress as the number or as the turning radius increases, which is kind of what we expected. So kind of a difference there between tracked and wheeled vehicles. So are there any questions? I know I went kind of fast over this, so. Yes, sir.
Maybe you mentioned this, but I didn't catch it. Why was there no intermediate turning radius passes for that?
What we did is we plotted, I'd have to go back a little bit, but we plotted the turning radius anywhere from less than 30 meters to more than 80 meters. And what we found is when we averaged all the four spirals that we did for the Hemet, there's no intermediate turns based upon our division into straight, intermediate, and sharp. So basically for the Hemet, there were no turns within, or no radiuses within 30 to 80 meters. They were either below 30 meters or above 80 meters. So that's why based upon our determination of that, or what we called an intermediate turn, there were no intermediate turns. Yes, sir.
So do you know what percentage of time they spend turning for each trip or each mission or?
Oh, have we looked at this in relation to the validation studies in the field? No, this is kind of just, we're trying to do this in order to get multivascular coefficients to kind of, so if in the future we can go into a validation or field check and study.
So would there be any use to coming up with a mission CIW or a trip CIW, or is it, would it really be more important to have it to be in a localized area where the most damage is done?
Right, let me know if this answers your question or not, but hopefully using these coefficients based upon GPS data from the field, we'll be able to determine the pass or the amount of vegetation removal for a vehicle at a specific turning radius and velocity. So basically this will allow us to calculate how much damage is done. So I guess it would just be like an overall value for like either per vehicle or per training exercise. So I guess you could do that. Does that answer your question?
Let me follow up on that, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, we do. When the vehicles are off-road, they're turning less than 30 meters about 10 to 15% of the time from looking at our frequency diagrams of turning off-road turning radiuses. But even though it's a fairly small amount of time for tracked vehicles, you can see that that's a big amount of damage versus going straight. For wheeled vehicles, it's not that large because the wheels separate out from the flow. But it's about 10 to 15% of the time turning radius is less than 30 meters.
Okay. I guess in addition to that, it'd be important on training exercise. if you only instrument certain vehicles, and like a non-instrumented vehicle versus an instrumented vehicle go over the same pass, it's if you don't have that information or data, then it's going to be hard to determine. So basically, I guess it depends on like most or all your vehicles being instrumented for training exercise. Any more questions? Yes, sir.
Maybe going off the last thing you said. So you had multiple passes,
mm-hmm.
and I guess do you have any idea? I'm not sure you can tell on GPS if vehicles are actually going over the same spot multiple times. So this is kind of scaling up the track of them. Do you have any ideas just from being on the ground or so forth, how often when they're off-road, they're actually following the same track as another vehicle?
That's a good question. When we did the study, one of the drivers was, he was like, why are you guys doing the study? Because vehicles in the field, like they usually don't follow the same paths. So you wouldn't really get multi-passes or multiple passes. When we were at Fort Riley this last August doing a validation study, kind of relating to this, we actually found areas, many areas where the vehicles went over the same passes. But it could have been different vehicle types or something. So yeah, we have seen, I guess, validated in the field where vehicles have gone over the tracks multiple times. Does that kind of answer your question? Okay.
I think that's all the time we have.
All right. Thank you.